By us exposing ourselves to the Bible, God will give us faith. Matthew says he was my child. He was dear to this centurion. Luke just uses the word doulos, but he explains he was dear to him. Not only, yes, he was dear to him. He was sick and he was ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, that's the secret, isn't it? When he heard of Jesus. My people will run when they hear there's a specialist in town or there's some cure that's specially good, and people will run for it. For some minute, some doctor in Canada who will work your feet and cure you of anything, they'll make a pilgrimage to Canada. And if there's somebody in Lourdes that will cure you, they'll go to Lourdes. Well, here is Jesus. And when he heard of Jesus, Luke tells us, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now let's keep looking at Matthew. And Matthew says that the centurion's message was, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now the elders came, verse 4, and they said to Jesus, they said, he's worthy. This centurion loves our nation so much that he actually gave us money. Now when people's pocketbooks get loosened up, you know they really are getting spiritual. He built us a synagogue, and it's a remarkable thing that it may be the very ruins of that synagogue are still in existence. There are ruins on this site that is supposed to be Capernaum. And you can walk down those steps and stand right there in that synagogue where Jesus preached, that was built by this centurion. The fact that the centurions mentioned in the Bible were a very fine type of man speaks well for the centurions. The centurion in the book of Acts who got the baptism, and this centurion. Now, were there any other centurions? Well, there was the centurion of the cross who said, surely this was the Son of God. The centurions were a very fine group of people there. They were the backbone of the police force of the Roman Empire. In Luke, verse 6, Jesus went with them. In Matthew, Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Now, when the nobleman came, in John 4, did Jesus go with him to heal his son? Well, turn and see if he did. John 4. What did the nobleman say? He's a different man, of course. What did the nobleman say? Yes, he said he wanted to come down to Capernaum, down to level, down below on the plain, because he was ready to die, exactly like the servant of the centurion. Did Jesus answer the nobleman in the same way as he answered the centurion? No. They're two different men. They need two different kinds of treatment. He rebuked the nobleman, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. The nobleman said, sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus didn't go down. He just spoke the word. Now back to the centurion. In the case of the centurion, the situation was different. Would you say the centurion had more faith than the nobleman? He really did, didn't he? Jesus didn't have to rebuke him. In fact, to the contrary, later he... And he didn't rebuke him for asking him to come down. It shows that the motive in the heart of the nobleman was different from the one in the centurion's heart. The nobleman then had unbelief there. And, well, you know, there was a woman in the hospital, a relative of a friend of mine, and she said, she just couldn't get faith. She said, you know, if Jesus came in the door and was right here, I'd believe in him. That was the noble. She wanted the flesh. She wanted the fleshly form. She wanted that outward stimulus. There are many Christians today that want some outward stimulus. And Jesus would rebuke them. Jesus didn't rebuke Gideon for wanting the fleece to be wet or dry, did he? Why? Because Gideon already had the faith. He wasn't asking for a fleece to give him faith. He was simply asking for the fleece so that he'd be sure that his faith was not misplaced. Be sure that he wasn't making a mistake. He was all ready to go. Now, when people ask for fleeces in order to get their faith, to get faith, God won't give it to you. You'll get the wrong kind of thing. The faith was already in the centurion's heart. And Jesus said, I'll come down. Now Luke, again. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him. Now this centurion had a lot of people interested in this case, didn't he? The elders of the Jews were there, and all his friends were there. You can see this centurion is an important man. And isn't it strange that the centurion is so humble, he doesn't even come to Jesus personally. Now what do you think of that? Did the centurion ever see Jesus in this case of healing? Now let's look and see. Did Jesus go to the centurion's house? Did he enter the centurion's home? Did the centurion set face on Jesus in this particular occasion? No, he didn't. Isn't that remarkable? What did Jesus go for? He just went to give the centurion a chance to say, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. You know, when Jesus does a healing, he not only wants to get the person healed, he wants to get something done to his personality, doesn't he? To his whole being. You'll see that when we come to the woman. Listen, beloved, Jesus is interested not only in healing you, he's interested in doing something to build you into a man or woman of faith. That's why you may have a test. And so the centurion sent his servant, his friends, and said, Lord, don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. And so he said, in Luke we're reading, And so I didn't come to you. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come to you. Did this man have true humility? He did. Now that false humility would say, well, I'm not worthy and so I better let this servant die. This man said, I'm not worthy, but Lord, I want the healing. Now that's genuine humility that sees. And beloved, when I've got genuine humility, I will be able to claim everything God promises me. These people who come whining around saying, well, I'm not very good, you know, and I'm just a poor Christian. And if you were going to agree with them, they'd get mad at you. It's not humility at all. It's a false kind of pride. If you're truly humble, you just won't talk about yourself at all. Why tell people you're no good if you're no good? Just, they'll find it out. Lord, I'm not worthy either to come to you or you to come to me. But Lord, heal my servant. But say in a word, my servant shall be healed. What faith? What faith in the word for Azadarabujalo? Is Jesus still the same? And is he here this morning? I'll tell you, if we know Jesus, we're going to trust in his word. Here it is. We can read it. We need to read this over and over and over until Jesus speaks to us by it. I'll tell you, it would do us a lot more good instead of running around trying to get people to give us some fancy messages out of the air if we'd read what God already has said to us in the Bible. And that doesn't mean that messages aren't correct. They are, and they're very blessed. But there are a lot of false prophets going around with all sorts of screwy ideas and messages that are not of God at all. You've got to be careful. Just speak a word. Now coming back to Matthew, you'll find that both Gospels bring out this point. The centurion said, I know exactly the position you're in because I'm in the same kind of position. I am a man under authority. And because I am under authority, I've got power from the authority that I am under to give orders. And when I give an order, boy, they don't say, well, I don't feel like doing it. When that centurion gave orders, they were done. That's the kind of thing I think we ought to have in a Bible school. I think when orders are given, people ought to obey the orders. If the order is wrong, obey it anyway. Your obedience will be right. And so he said, I just give commands. Now, he said, I know you're the same way. Isn't that remarkable? You're the same way. Nicodemus says, we know that you're a man sent from God because you couldn't do these miracles otherwise. These discerning people, whether they were great rabbis or high-placed or centurions, they recognized in Jesus authority. Where did this centurion get it? I don't know. When Jesus heard it reading in Matthew, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I haven't found such faith even among the chosen people Israel. And then he says, a strange thing. The kingdom of God is going to have people coming from the east and the west and the north and the south sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of the kingdom are going to be outside. It seems that Jesus says this kind of faith that this nobleman has for the healing of this servant is the kind of faith that brings you into the kingdom. Isn't it? It isn't some special kind of faith for the body, for what we call divine healing. It's a simple faith in the word of Jesus. When David Livingstone stood before those students at Edinburgh University, and instead of heckling him, they were calmed by his limp arm that was bitten by the lion. You remember the Livingstone, the missionary? The lion bit him, and his arm hung limp. And they were awed by that figure, and he spoke to those students, and he said that amidst the awful trials that he went through, amidst the terrible things he suffered in Africa as he opened up that continent, he said the one thing that sustained him was the word of a gentleman that couldn't fail. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've got that word this morning. You've got that word this morning. And Jesus marveled and he said, I haven't found such faith, no, not in Israel. The servant was healed that very moment. Beloved, there's only one thing, there's only one thing keeping Jesus Christ's omnipotence from flowing in this world, and it's my unbelief and yours. We might as well admit it, mightn't we? What shall I do then? Oh, I will get in my closet and I'll say, my God, I want to know Jesus better. It's the only thing you'll get that'll give you confidence in Jesus is to know him. And as you get to know him better by the word, he will put you in situations where he can show you what he can do. How are you going to know who's the heavyweight boxing champion of the world unless you get him up against somebody and see if he is? How are you going to know how strong Jesus is unless he lets you have these trials so that you can prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. We've got the word of a gentleman. We've got the word of God himself. A God who cannot lie. And beloved, that's the only reason we don't get these things. It's our unbelief. And so the centurion's servant was healed. And I'm pretty sure that that centurion met Jesus after that and was able to fall at his feet and say, Jesus, I knew you couldn't fail. I knew you couldn't fail. Let us stand. Oh, as someone has said, we don't want to go to heaven and have Jesus say to us, why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you let me show my power? We don't want that, do we? Listen, beloved, Jesus Christ is willing to manifest his power in us and through us and for us and by us. He is. We don't want to go to heaven and have Jesus say, oh, why didn't you trust me more? I would have done so much more for you. No, but we're going to find out from this word that God will not withhold any good thing. Father, I pray today that you will increase our faith, that we will trust Jesus even if we are at the point of death. God, like Abraham, you raised Isaac from the dead for him. And so today we look to you, Jesus. We are poor creatures in ourselves, but in thee we are children of the King. In thee we are more than conquerors. In thee we lack no good thing. In thee we have a shepherd who leads us by the still waters and in the green pastures. And so today, dear Lord Jesus, be glorified in us by the great victory that you will have in our lives. God, make us to walk today in heavenly places with thee. And oh, may we be bound together by love. May there be a love in Miracle Valley and a compassion and a sympathy and fellowship. And Lord, for those who are weak, give us faith that they'll become strong. For those who fail, that they will succeed. For those, dear Lord, who are pulled down by the devil and their own flesh, that you'll give them a great victory so that when school ends, everybody in this place will have fullest victory in the Holy Ghost. God, that's our prayer this morning and our faith for it. In Jesus' name, amen.